Do you want to read your message? Do you want to jawbone it? What's your pleasure?
I don't know that my message was very eloquently put, so I guess I'll just
jawbone
try to wing it. Yeah. We had a conversation in 2022, fall of 2022, and I brought the issue to you that I was having with my mom. I had a 16-month-old at the time, and she was sabotaging my parenting. That's exactly what she was doing. We had a rule at the time, which we still have, is no sugar until 2. And she was ignoring that rule and giving him sugary things anyway. So you and I talked, and I do not think at the time that I fully absorbed what you were saying to me, which now is a little infuriating. So my son is 4 now, and now we have another little boy. He just turned 2 in April. And unfortunately, we weren't able to fix our problem. I told my parents about the call, and they both listened to it. And there was, I wouldn't say anger, displeasure maybe. They definitely didn't like the call. Although I don't know that I can blame them. It wasn't exactly complimentary. I told my mom, we need to get a counselor involved. We need to get this fixed. Like, I can't let you blatantly ignore my rules right in front of my son. I cannot let this continue. So, I found a counselor that could meet with us virtually. They were local. It wasn't like BetterHelp or anything like that. But we met with her, I don't know, every week, I think, for months. We called in November. It took a while to get an appointment. I think we finally got an appointment with the therapist in February, maybe. And it was mostly me and mom. And she kind of, you know, we talked about my childhood and we talked about the things that I was doing differently. And she just kind of agreed with everything. Like, she didn't really, not that I wanted her to fight, but she just kind of gave, you know, you're right, I agree. You know, you're right, I agree. Like, she didn't really have anything of substance to really add. And then as time went on, she said, well, you really need to talk to your dad. You really need to talk with your sister, with this therapist. Is my sister and I at the time had, I don't know that I would say gone no contact, but very distant. And so I had an appointment with my dad, and he, for a very long time now, has been open to like talking about things. He's much better now, but he hasn't always handled those conversations. He would give excuses. He's a lot better about that now than he was at the time. And we had like one session with him, myself, and the counselor. And, we talked about it. He was like, yeah, I'm really sorry. Like, I did not handle this well or whatever. Like, he took accountability. Like, it went very, very well. And then my sister and I did a session together. Or maybe we did a couple of sessions together. And that pretty much ended with her and I, like, we'd have the counseling session and then we'd sit and talk about things for a little bit. And the last conversation we had, she pretty much told me that I was a nasty, selfish person and she didn't want to have anything to do with me. My sister.
Your
did.
Sister, so sorry. Okay, sorry. I lost track of who was who. Yeah. My apologies. Go ahead.
Sorry. Whatever. That just made that easier on me, I guess. My thinking already at the time was that I needed to distance myself from her. So I was just like, well, if that's what you think, you know, you can have your opinion. It's your opinion. That's none of my business. But I can't be close with anybody that looks at me and thinks I'm a selfish, horrible person. If you have legitimate criticism, please let me know. I can't get better if you don't tell me. But if you're just going to say I'm a horrible, selfish person, that's all you got. You know, I can't, whatever. So I don't know if the counselor wasn't very good or if I just don't understand what counseling's supposed to be, or if mom just, because her go-to is shut down. You'll sit there and have a conversation and she just goes stony. She won't even necessarily, like, she just shuts down. So that ended, and I felt defeated. I didn't like how it went. And in the background through all this, my son was still going down to visit her. I never shut that off. Like, I still let that happen. And I don't think that she did anything I know she didn't do anything blatantly sabotaging at that time, because I would have brought it up with the counselor. But anyway, that fall, I decided to stop the counseling sessions because at that point it was just me. And, you know, I can't control my mom. And then I got pregnant. And when I'm pregnant, I get like I'm healthy, baby's healthy, everything's fine. But I'm nauseous from like week 7 until delivery. It's horrible.
God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I mean, what you all suffer to put all 8 billion people in the world is just truly astonishing. And I'd like to thank you from the entire planet. And congratulations.
I mean, it's worth it. It is hard. It's so hard. But I wouldn't have been, I don't think I would have been able to keep up with the sessions anyway. It's a blur. But we continue on, and as time goes on, she slowly starts creeping back with some things. To backtrack just a smidge, when I did confront her initially, after we had our call, and she said, like, I was asking her, why are you doing this? This doesn't make any sense. Why are you feeding him sugar? I've told you why we have this rule. I don't understand. You've agreed with this rule. Why is this something that you have an issue with? And her response at the time, and this is where the responses started to get weird, although she doesn't really respond anyway, so maybe they were always weird. I was just now pushing it out of her. She said, well, what I heard was that you were never going to give him sugar. And I think that's a horrible idea, because if you never give them sugar, they're going to become addicted to it when they do get it. And that's all they're going to want is sugar, sugar, sugar. It's always going to be on their mind. I'm like, okay, well, that's never what we said. Like, this was a rule that, like, I like to research things to death. And this was a rule that, to be fair, I didn't like research it as much as I research other things, but I had looked into it, and I looked into it while I was pregnant with my firstborn. I was like, this is what I want to do. And I remember talking about it to her, but again, she doesn't really respond. So I don't even know how much she was really taking in. And then telling her more clearly, no sugar till 2. I don't know where she got that we're never giving sugar, but her way to correct that insane rule, instead of coming to me and talking to me about it, which I've always told both my parents, please, like, you have years of experience, more than me, with raising children. If you ever see me doing something, making decisions, you're like, I don't know about that, please come to me and talk to me about that, please, like, I want your guidance. And instead of talking to me about that, she's like, well, I was just gonna give him sugar because he should have sugar. That wasn't the rule we made, but all right. And at that, when she told me that, I clarified, actually, it's no sugar until 2. And I told her for, I don't know what time, this is why. Back to storyline. I was still letting him down there. And when, I'm kicking myself, I swear. When I went into labor with my second, my parents, so my son would be down at their house almost every day, for an hour and a half to 2 hours. So I was with him all day long. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I don't work. I would be with him all day long. And again, I'm very nauseous. I'm not feeling well this whole pregnancy. And I'm grateful that they're taking him. Like, you know, you're able, you know, at the time he would take off. So I'm terrified to take him outside. We kind of live out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter where you live. If your little kid is running away from you very quickly and you're just like, you feel like you're dying. So I was feeling nervous to take him outside because I could have caught him. I was probably just being irrational. But it felt better that, like, they could take him. And I'm like, I'm sure they're taking him outside. Turns out they weren't. They were, well, my mom wasn't. he was sticking him in front of the TV instead. When I went into labor with my second born, they were bringing him home, my firstborn home. And I was in labor and my mom says, you know what? I'm just going to take him for a sleepover. She'd been kind of asking about sleepovers. And I'd always said no to this point. She's like, I'm just going to take him for a sleepover. And then like, I was in no position to argue. I was in no position to like, you know, change this. And we had decided on a home birth. So we hadn't, and that was probably where I messed up, is we hadn't really nailed down what to do with my firstborn. We just figured, like, he'll be in bed. He won't know what's going on, whatever. So anyway, she took him down for a sleepover. And then the sleepovers continued every weekend. She would take him for one night. And sometimes she would take him for two. And this whole time, she's also feeding him things that I have directly told her not to. And I'm sliding back into the habit that I had before our conversation of, well, if I can't see it, then there's nothing to deal with. Which I can't believe I started to do that. I'm so mad at myself. So then this last Christmas, my mom was watching both my boys and I went to a holiday party and I came home and my youngest, who was like 18 months at the time, so under two, had a Pop-Tart. And then my oldest, the youngest had like half a Pop-Tart and my oldest had a full blown Pop-Tart. And I'm like, okay, what is this? Why do they, like, I'm sorry, what part of you thinks that Pop-Tart is sugar-free? What part of you thinks that that's a whole food? Like, and I had asked her a couple of times if you're like, we, and all the time I would let it lapse. Like, I would let things go. I would be like, okay, if you want to give him a sugary thing, now after my firstborn ended the 2-year thing and we were going to give sugar in moderation, I was like, if you want to give him something sugary, ask me. You know, you don't know what I fed him today. Like, maybe he got a sugary treat earlier and I don't want to double up on that. Like, ask me before you give him anything. And there was no question. She never asked me about Pop-Tarts. She just gave the kids the Pop-Tarts. So I was like, no, we're done. We are done. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm taking my kids home. And I was like, you know, we're going to have to talk about this. I took the kids home. And then I finally started putting my foot down. And I said, like, we sat down and had a conversation. And again, I was like, I'm not understanding why you gave the sugar. And, you know, she's saying, oh, you know, they were hungry or whatever. And I'm like, well, what about our no sugar till 2 thing? My youngest is not 2. Why are you giving him sugar? And, she gives again the, oh, well, I thought you said no sugar ever. And that is a bad idea. And I was just, no, we've talked about this. We've talked about this. Am I losing my brains? We've literally had this conversation. And so I said, okay, there are no more sleepovers. And I can't remember, we started to cut access back. I think we cut it back to a couple times a week. And at that point, I think maybe we cut it back to like once a week, like on the weekends or something. And I guess she told Dad that, well, this isn't going to last. She can't handle them. This isn't going to last, which I don't know who she's talking to. I got my stubborn gene from somebody. I don't know why she's, I don't know where that came from. So eventually, like, it's like February or March, she finally says, I think I told her, you need to be able to answer my, until you can answer my question of why you're doing this, until you can answer that, you can't, I'm not giving you any more time with my kids. And we also had a circumstance where she said, well, this is just too hard. I need a list of foods that are okay and not okay. Which I thought was, like, this isn't a crazy rule. Like, they can't have like tacos or whatever. It's like, if it's a sugary thing, a cookie, ice cream, candy, that's an obvious no. You need to ask about that first. And she had mentioned lists before and I hadn't done it because I knew that once I made a list, I was either going to have to let her roll me over or I was going to have to put my foot down and things were going to explode. So I finally acquiesced and gave her the list. And I made it very detailed. I made it very clear. And then I also added in there the consequences of if she went against this list, if she didn't. And I had a list of safe foods that she could give without asking. And then I had another list of foods that weren't necessarily no, but you have to ask. You can't just give them these foods without asking. So like it was like high caloric, because she doesn't have any portion control whatsoever. So like peanut butter's on that list because she's not giving a serving. She's giving like a family size serving. So it's not no, it's just you have to ask about this. And then I also had the consequences of if you do this, if you break these rules, then you will have no unsupervised time with my children. So gave her the list. And I can't remember now how often they were going down. It's very seldom. They pretty much what we did is I would talk to dad. I mean, she was basically unsupervised. I mean, I don't know how much they were there alone. Like I would talk to dad, when are you going to be home? He'd say, I'll be home here. And he's like, you know, I'm going to try to make sure she follows your rules and I'm going to watch this or whatever. And so we'd only have them down, like for the most part, when my dad was home. And then, so that was like March. No, that would be February, because in March, my dad got a stomach bug. My dad got a stomach bug that caused issues from both ends. And he was looking into it and he's like, I think this is some sort of like rotavirus type thing. Like the boys need to stay away from here. I'm like, agreed. Like, we don't want to mess with this. Like, you know, they're going to get bugs, but if we can avoid it, great. And we'd also just started potty training my youngest. So my mom had come home. And another important bit of information is we rent our home from my parents and our house is fairly close to their house. So like coming and going, we can't help but see them. So mom comes home and she sees that we're in the yard. So she pulls into the driveway and we're talking for a minute. And I'm, you know, I kind of mentioned dad's illness and she kind of like laughs it off and goes, oh, he just has food poisoning. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm like, okay, well, I talked to him and I don't want to risk it. If it's food poisoning or not, I don't want to risk it. Like, I would prefer to be on the safe side and not get my kids to catch this thing. And so she asked, you know, when can I see the boys again? And I said, well, tomorrow, if you would like, you can come play with them in our yard for a while. So the next day, she comes up and and to be fair, I didn't, well, it's not fair. I told her the day before, don't take them down there. I told her she could play in our yard. And she took the boys out in the yard and she was playing. And I was inside doing chores and stuff in the house. And I just got this feeling like they aren't here anymore. I checked. I didn't see them. And I texted my dad, said, where are the boys? He said, they're down here. And I said, okay. And I texted my mom. I said, you bring them up right now. And she brought them back. And they went inside. And I took her out on the porch. And I was so mad. I'm not proud of how I acted. I was like, I must have looked ridiculous. I was literally jumping around. I was so angry. I was like, I deliberately told you, I have tried to give you chances. I have sat down and talked to you, I don't know how many times, begging you to listen to me, to follow my rules. You refused to do it. I was so clear. Do not take them down there. I do not want to risk this. And she's just standing there stony. And eventually I'm like, and you're not even apologizing. You have blatantly ignored my request and you are not even apologizing. And, you know, a little after that, she goes, oh, sorry. It's like, right, that, okay, I don't count.
Oh, and I bet you then complained about her apology too. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, at that point, I kind of just let it go. In my head, though, I'm like, right, right. If I hadn't said anything, you never would have, you, whatever. And she, I mean, historically, she's not great with apologies. So she left and I was like, you know what? This wasn't a food rule, but you ignored my rule. So there's no more unsupervised time. And I frankly don't want, like, and this, I never actually told her any of this. This is kind of a conversation I had myself and my husband, my poor husband. I said, you know what? No more unsupervised visits. You only get time when either myself or my husband can be there. And I don't really want to see you. So you're not going to get that much time. So, you know, that's, I guess that was the explosion that broke that apart. And my dad has been begging her to talk to me because I've talked to him too about this. And I'm like, you know, I'm done. I have sat down with her and had one-on-one. We've had like four of, and I hate these conversations. They're draining. And we've had like four of them this year. And I'm done. When you're willing to have a conversation with me, I am more than willing to talk. I am a talker. I could talk forever and be happy. I'm more than willing to talk, but you have to be the one that comes to me and talks about this, because I'm tired of dragging you like a child to try to get you to talk to me. And you just, yeah, right. Whatever. Like, and you kind of have an attitude about it. I'm done. So he's begged her a couple times, and the first time she goes, oh, we don't have anything to talk about. Okay, whatever, fine. Whatever. And then very recently, he was asking her again. And she said, well, she cut off her sister. It was just my turn. I'll have kids. Her sister will have children. I can foster.
Wow.
What do you mean have kids? Yeah. What do you mean have kids? Are you making kid pies like the Hansel and Gretel witch in the woods? What do you mean? Well, my kids are so replaceable. My stomach went cold. This woman has slept with my son in her bed. She has bathed my children. And they, any kid will do.
No, but she can't give you leverage over her with your children, so she's got to pretend that the bond isn't strong so that you don't have power over her.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm an old enough man to know that you need to talk, and I will not provide any solutions or feedback until requested, so go ahead.
Well, I mean, that brings us to present day. That's the most recent thing that's happened. I think another important piece of information is my dad filed for divorce this last winter.
Wow.
So like all this kind of hit.
After how long?
Yes. They were married in 92.
Wow, bro has some endurance muscles.
Yes, he does. He has been very patient with her, and you know, he says he feels bad because clearly she's dealing with some mental problems, but at the same time, I think that she has the she could seek help. She could deal with it, but she chooses not to. So I don't think that that's on him. So they are no longer together. But he's still, I mean, my dad's super sweet. Like he's like, you know, she's the mother of my children. Like, you know, I'm not going to let her become homeless on the street. Like I'm not going to be married to her anymore, but you know, but yeah, I think that's it. Any information you need from here, I think that's me bringing us to current day.
Right, right. I'm sorry about all of this. Very stressful. And what has prompted the call today? I mean, I feel like you've just been ignoring me for 4 years. I've been sitting there staring at my inbox, a crick in my neck, weeping, copious tears. I have to be hooked up to an IV of saline waiting for you to get back in touch. Nothing. Just kidding. Sorry. Go on. I just being my mom for a moment.
Well, I was ashamed. I was ashamed because I knew I should be doing something. Like I knew that I should, because you told me in that call. I've listened to it more recently. I'm so frustrated with myself. Like you told me, you can't. She will not follow rules. You warned me. She won't follow rules. And I mean, yeah, sure, I was making baby steps, but good. I mean, at a snail's pace. And I think at this point, I just don't understand. I would love to have a little bit more understanding. Like, her and I have never had a good relationship. And the part right now that's really hurting me is I let especially my oldest, I let him love her. Bond and get close.
And she's the lady with Pop-Tarts.
Yeah. Like, I let him, not only did I let him love her, but I let her put herself like a thorn between us. Like, and now I don't know how.
Go on.
I don't know how to explain to him. I don't even know how to start to apologize. Like, I don't want to, like, come off like I'm bad-mouthing her. But, well, now, so we live so close. She comes home, like, so I it's so annoying. I want to move so badly. She comes home, and I try not to be in the yard with the boys when she comes home, because every time she comes and she wants to say hi to the boys, she doesn't say a word to me. Well, it's not like she ignores me. She'll say, like, little tiny things. It's like, no apologies, no acknowledgement of what she's done, no acknowledgement of how she's hurt me, no acknowledgement of how she's hurt my kids. She just continues on like nothing has happened. And it feels weird. And I don't know if I should be like, if I should ask her not to stop. But the boys get so excited. It's like, I don't want to be dramatic. But this is also, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know how to handle with, we're not addressing what's happened. We're just like, fine, you're not going to get any more time. You seem to be fine with that. But like, you know, she was asking about my birthday. Oh, do you want anything? Do you want me to bring you food? Or my dad made a good point. He said, you should say, well, if you would like to give me a sincere apology, I'd accept that, which I should probably say that the next time the opportunity.
I mean, isn't that like asking a toddler to speak Japanese?
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost cruel, right? Just be completely different from who you are and everything will be fine.
Yeah, that's true. She never has really apologized. But then how, what?
Okay, sorry, we'll get to the big philosophical stuff in a bit. But where's your dad living?
So right now they have this house that they built a while ago. And right now they're both living in that house. Dad started last year building a house. And this is partially what prompted the divorce. They started building a house that he was fully aware that he would never live in. Like, she left the marital bed unprompted. She never said a word. She doesn't, I guess that's a theme here. She doesn't really say much. She just left and lived in the guest room. And so they started building this house where they've been planning
for years. Hang on. She left the marital bed. So she turned your father into a roommate.
Yes, she did. She did.
Oh, no. No. We only put up with immaturity for sex. Does she not know that?
Well, she's asked him. That's a funny thing, is she's asked him for a divorce multiple times in the past.
Yeah. But we assume that once, was manipulative because it never went through. Right? So a woman can be annoying and immature, but without the sex, why would you put up with it? And again, I'm not saying that's healthy. I'm just saying that's, you can't. You can't take all of your cards off the table and still expect to get a deal, right?
Yeah, well, she put up with it for a while. Like, it's
sorry,
more information
put up with
than what? I want, but she.
Oh, put up with sex.
She took those cards out for, like, she's been living on no sex for a hot minute, apparently.
I don't know what you mean by a hot minute. That sounds like sex again.
Well,
I mean,
apparently, it's more information than I wish I didn't know this information, but apparently she pulled the sex card out of the equation years ago.
Really?
Apparently. I wish I didn't know that. It's more information than
I know. It's, you know, you're an adult. I mean, they're adults. I mean, if there's dysfunction in that area, you probably need to be aware of it because it's going to have a big effect on their relationship.
Well, true.
Because marriage is about managing sexuality. That's why we have marriage. So if there's, again, assuming no medical issues, if there's no sex in the marriage, it's not a marriage.
That's a very good point.
There's no marriage. You're just roommates.
Yeah. And she initiated that. And I mean, my dad is super, super loyal and he feels really bad for her. So, I mean, I don't know why he hung out so long. He finally decided to divorce last year when he was at home. Like, he's trying to get this place built without sending them into astronomical amounts of debt. And my dad's super frugal. He's doing everything he can himself. And, like, he's capable. So he's at home putting in, like, they've had these dreams of, like, and I think it's closer than dad. I think he's a little, he, he's had these dreams and he just assumed that they've had the dreams. I don't think mom's really been that interested, but he's wanted to do like pigs and stuff and raise their own food and things like that. So he was putting water lines in the field.
I'm seeing this big field full of Pop-Tarts growing. But anyway, go on.
Yeah, that would be a more in her line. So he's at home.
Sugar canes as far as the eye can see.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, a modern day Candyland. He was, digging these trenches, putting in these water lines for these animals that he's not even expecting to have until they retire. But he's like, now is the easiest time to put in the water line in. Like he's it's hot. It's June. It's last year. He's sweating and working really hard. And my husband and I and my mom went to a family birthday party. And my mom is just telling everybody there how ridiculous he is. And he's just making holes. He's just at home making holes. Like, he's putting in water lines for you.
Sorry, your dad is still working and he's doing this?
Yes. Yes.
Man.
My dad's always worked a lot. Well, and at that point, I don't even know if he had the expectation anymore. Like,
that's a lot of energy. That's a lot of pent up energy. Yeah. I lay some irrigation over here. I gotta build a fence over there. Okay.
Yeah. Suddenly that makes that makes more sense. Well, at the time, he owned his own company and he sold it. And he was the new, like, he joined in with a company that bought his company. And he was working a lot, like talking to him, like last year was really hard on him. So when he found out that he's at home breaking his back for her and she's at this party, just bad mouthing him, he's like, nope, I'm done. That's what finally broke the camel's back. He decided he was done in like June, but he didn't file until December, but I think he was hoping to get it so that she could just move into her house and leave him alone.
Okay, sorry, I'm losing track of the houses. There's the house your parents live in, there's the house you live in,
yeah,
and then there's a house he's building. And where was your mom going to move?
So my dad has a warehouse type situation, and there's a tiny house inside.
Like, oh my God, and there's a warehouse. Area.
Well, that's, okay, I'm gonna need some Google Maps their house. Here.
The fuck are you people doing? Like you're like a whole planet over there.
Well, it feels like it sometimes. It's a small planet. But my dad, like when he built the warehouse, they made a very small living space in the warehouse. It was supposed to be only temporary. The long term plan was to build an actual house right next door to the warehouse. And so that's what they were doing. They were building that house right next door to the warehouse where they live inside. So his vision was, I'm going to stay, and it was understood even before they started building the house that mom would be moving into the house alone. She's already left the marital bed. What's the point in him trying to move in there with her? There's only one room, one bedroom in the house. So he was going to end up staying in the warehouse, and she was going to be moving into the house. It's not huge, but that she was going to be moving.
Wait, so hang on. So they're divorcing and staying on the same property?
Yes.
But why? Yes.
Well, dad was scared he was going to lose everything. And again, he doesn't, like, he's worried about mom's mental health if he just tries to kick her out. And he doesn't think, like, he's like, you know, we have had our issues, but she's still the mother of my children. He would feel horrible just, you know, if she decides to just leave, that's her problem. But he's not going to, like,
hang on, but how long have they been married? So 92, you said, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so long ass time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so she would get a whole bunch of assets and resources and savings and, like, whatever, right? So she's not going to be homeless.
Well, but she has been saying, oh, well, I'm just not going to take anything. I'm just not going to take anything. Like, I mean, no one's saying you should, like, if you get split up, like, no one's saying that he should take everything and you get nothing. Like, he's not even saying that. Like, she's saying these freaking crazy things that don't make any sense.
Honestly, she's a toddler.
Yes.
Like, there's so many people in this world who never grow up. In fact, the majority of people in this world never grow up. And some people never get past 3. Some people never get past 8 or 13 or 20. A lot of people never, most people never grow up. That's just the default position of humanity in the world that is. Maybe not the world to come, but in the world that is. So she's just a toddler. Like, I don't want anything. I don't need anything. I just wander off into the yeah. night with a potato sack full of some muffins. Right? I mean, it's just toddler behavior.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed. So I'm not sure if you need any more clarification.
No. I think I got that. I just think I just wasn't quite sure where everybody was whirling and landing. Okay. So what's the best thing that I can do to help you tonight?
The thing that I'm battling right now is, where do I fully draw the line when it comes to my kids? Like, and it's hard living, like, we need to move. We need to move so badly. In this economy, we need to move so badly. Because, like, it definitely feels a bit manipulative that, you know, she comes home, she sees the boys playing in the yard. You know, they're all excited. Oh, there she is. Oh, come see us or whatever. Because they don't understand what's happened. And I guess I also need to know.
The sugar witch is home. Sorry, go on.
Where's our candy cane? It's like, so she kind of puts me in this position where I have to, like, maybe I need to get over it and just be okay with being the bad guy. But she kind of puts me in this position where now I'm going to be the jerk that says, no, you need to leave. And then the kids are like, okay, what the heck's going on? Like, because they, like, my son's asked, not very much, but he did ask, especially in the beginning, like, are we going to do a sleepover? I was like, no, buddy, we're not going to do a sleepover with your grandma. We're not doing that. But like I haven't really explained things to him. Like, I've told him that you have to, we're not spending as much time with grandma because she won't listen to mommy daddy's rules. Like, I just feel like I've majorly messed up and I've let this enmeshment happen and I don't know how to release it.
Sorry, how to what?
As far as to release this enmeshment between my mom and my children.
Sorry, did you say release
born.
Or relief?
Release.
Release. Like, I'm sorry about that. Okay, got it.
Free them from this enmeshment with my mother. I don't know how to do that. Well, yeah. Like, does it hurt anything that she comes and sees them? Even though she's kind of like she'll ask, oh, can I come in? Like, I've been unreasonable and crazy. Like, you know, I might snap at any moment because I'm super unpredictable and my rules change all the time. So then at that point, I'm like, no, you can leave. Like, and now the kids are upset because she's not going to stay. I don't know if I should like reach out to her and be like, you can't stop by anymore.
Oh, come on. You know what you need to do.
I do.
What do you need to do?
I think I need to tell her to not stop.
Nope. Because she won't listen.
Nope.
I'm sorry. Is your solution 4 years down the road another rule? Please tell me you didn't just offer another rule.
Okay,
see,
good
I got
point.
This woman. She's never accepted any single one of my rules, but I'm just going to make a rule about that.
I need to move.
I mean, I know you're not trying to give me an aneurysm, like, not consciously.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the opposite of an aneurysm either. Yeah, you need to move. Of course you need to move. How you can't manage people with no boundaries in the environment. You can't. I mean, it's like the yeah. basement is flooding and you're down there with a couple of popsicle sticks trying to stop it. I mean, how cheap is the... You don't have to tell me the... I assume it's pretty cheap to live there, right?
I mean, it's... The house is... very outdated. Like, we're not paying super high rent. Like, I think we're probably paying what's fair for the house. I mean, it's old.
But you're not even getting a deal?
The kitchen tiles are popping up. No.
Wait,
I mean,
it's on your family property and you're not even getting a deal?
We're not. I don't necessarily disagree with that. Like, you know, we're adults. We should be able to pay our bills. I mean, we have the closest thing we're going to have to home security, unless we buy our own place. Like, mom and dad aren't going to kick us out. Whereas if anywhere
else, you
get
a lease,
you know,
right? And you're a good tenant, they'd love you.
Yeah. Like, we try not to take advantage of the situation. Like, we try to be very, I think we do. I think both parties do a fairly good job with a rental. We're, you know, we pay on time. We never skip a payment. Like, they don't just, like, she'll show up at the yard, but it's not like she just walks in the house. Like, she's got a key, but I've never, like, that was that would end in fire. We come home and she's just in the living room. That's never happened. And I don't think that's ever going to happen. We're not getting, I don't know that we're getting, I don't know that they would be charging much more for this place if it was somebody else than if it was us. But it's a very small house. Like it's, we're not, you know, we're trying, you know, we're living on my husband's income. So we're saving on childcare, but you know, we're trying to also not live above our means. And so, but yeah, we need to, I think if we really put our nose to the grindstone and really focus on it, we could, it'll be like 2 years, but we could be out of here.
Sorry, did you say 2 years?
Yeah.
Why 2 years?
Well, just that amount of time trying to get the savings up to be able to buy a place.
Well, you could rent, right? I mean, what's the difference? I mean, if you're paying market price where you are, you just rent another place at market price and save there.
We could do that. I haven't even thought of looking for rental places, but yeah, we could do that.
I mean, she's not going to change, right?
No.
I mean, she won't even change to keep her marriage from 1992, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
it's like 34 years, right? So she's not got any bond with your father. She's not got any bond with your kids. She doesn't really have any bond with you. Everything she does seems like manipulative, like she's unstable, but she pretends that you're the ticking time bomb and so on. So she's not going to change. I mean, it's just a constant fact to accept.
Yeah.
And it sucks. I mean, I know I've gone through similar stuff with my own mom, just recognizing that people won't change. I mean, change is tough even when you want to. If people don't even want to, it's completely impossible. If they won't even admit fault, right?
Yeah. That's so alien to me. I don't understand just giving up.
What do you mean?
Just like, this is my child, these are my grandchildren, and just giving up. Or maybe I'm not giving enough grace to the amount that she would have to, like, what she would have to do to change. Like, maybe I'm not being understanding enough that that's
too heavy. No, I can tell you. I can, if you want to understand the mindset, I can explain it. And there's no reason why you would know this, right? So this isn't like, oh, it's so obvious, right? But no, just imagine that if you admitted you were wrong, you would die.
Okay.
No, like literally that's it. Like if they get you to admit that you're wrong, you're going to die. That's it. So you can never admit that you're wrong. I mean, you can mouth the words a little bit, well, I'm sorry, you know, but everyone has to know that you don't mean it. Because if you genuinely admit that you're capable of fault and error and wrongness, you will die. That's the mindset. Tell me how that doesn't fit.
It does. I just don't understand it.
Okay.
And actually, that might bring me to how can I make sure that I don't do the same thing she's done? How can I make sure? Because when I look at her, in my opinion, she is in, like, the only worst hell, for, in my opinion, would be one of my kids passes away. Like, she's unhappy. She's lost her husband. She's lost me. She doesn't have a fantabulous relationship with my sister. She doesn't have a good relationship with anybody. When I look into my future, when I'm her age, my greatest wish is to be, sorry, I'm getting emotional over this. My greatest wish is to be a rock for my family. Like, I want to be so useful. And I want to be so, like, such a source of love and support and caring that when I die, I don't wish pain on my family, but I want my presence to have been so strong and so giving and so fulfilling that it leaves a hole when I'm gone. Because when my mom passes, I don't know how many people are even going to notice.
Well, or not celebrate.
Or not celebrate, yeah. So, like, and she, like, if you were to ask her, she would say that she's doing fine, like, everything. So how, but I would say the same. I feel like I'm trying my best for my kids. I've messed up so badly here, but I'm trying to repair it. I'm trying to make things better. How do I make sure that I can be that rock for my family and I don't end up like a sour prune alone in my cave.
Sure. No, that's it's a big old question. It's a big old, is that what you've called to, I want to make sure I provide maximum value to you. Is that what you've mostly called about?
I think that might be the heart of my question. I think that's something that's really been bothering me. Like, how do I know I'm living in reality when she would swear up and down that she is?
Yeah.
She clearly can't see it. How do I know when I slip?
Yeah. Or even with the best of intentions, how do you know you're not going to end up like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, you're a lovely young lady and I'm pushing 60. So I think I came from a bad background. I haven't turned into that. So hopefully I have some credibility at this point. I mean, my knees aren't what they used to be, but I have credibility. I'm sure it's a good trade. I'm sure it's a good trade. So first of all, please, please, please do me a favor and don't be mad at yourself. I'm just begging you. Okay. On my knees. Oh, that hurts. I'm just kidding. My knees are fine. It's just a cliche of old age. But no. So if you're to be mad at yourself, I should be hitting myself in the foot with a bow and arrow, because in 4 years, you hoped philosophy was wrong. You hoped that, you know, my statements or whatever weren't going to pan out, and we'd all be thrilled if they didn't. And I took 20 years to start really living philosophy and to accept that it was true. So I have come to peace with myself about how long it took me. I hope, given that you did it 5 times faster than I did, 5 times, that's very impressive. I hope that you will be kind to yourself and be reasonable with yourself and say that, you know, what Steph said 4 years ago was unusual and unprecedented, and right? And so, you know, we all hope that philosophy is wrong and that we won't have to deal with the negative consequences of philosophy being right. So if you're mad at yourself after 4 years, I should not be able to get out of bed for over 20 years. And so if I can forgive myself and you did it 5 times faster, I hope that you will at least put it on the table to not be mad at yourself.
Deal.
Good. Okay. So very, very briefly, I'll just do a wind sprint through this about why your mother can't admit that she's wrong. So probably early in her childhood, she was punished horrendously for being wrong. Like, you know, there are some parents that if you make a mistake, then it's just held over you forever. You can't make mistakes. You can't get things wrong. You can't just be human and flub and do things right. You're mocked. You're insulted. You're laughed at. You're given labels. You know, you drop one one cake and you're the clumsy one forever, right? So you can never admit that you're wrong, because you're just abused and mocked and humiliated forever and ever. I mean, maybe it doesn't happen to you, but you see it happen to other kids in the environment or something like that. So basically, you can't admit that you're wrong. Now, when you can't admit that you're wrong, you get what is called the false self. Now, the false self is manipulative. It doesn't believe it's worth anything on its own. The false self, when it's young, you know, the guys will flash expensive cars and watches. The women will flash cleavage and lots of legs. What are they, millipedes? They'll flash a lot of leg, not maybe lots of legs, unless that's your thing, in which case, go to it. So this is when people don't believe that they're worth much of anything, but they will manipulate other people into giving them stuff. Was your mother very pretty when she was younger?
I don't know that she was like a 10. She was probably a 7, maybe an 8.
And your dad?
He was probably similar.
Okay. So you can't admit that you're wrong, which means that everything that you do with your mental energies is to prevent reality from coming to you. And so you manipulate, you gaslight, you lie, you prevaricate, you do all of this kind of funky mental gymnastics to make sure that you never experience being wrong. And then what happens is, you originally had this defense called don't be wrong to protect your true self, but defenses can overwhelm that which they're originally designed to protect and destroy it. Mm-hmm. You know, like you have a bunch of soldiers to guard the government, but then the soldiers turn around and have a coup, right? Take over the government. So the defenses that are designed to protect you end up asphyxiating you, and there's no longer any honesty or true self or connection. There is only levers and manipulation and gaslighting and so on. And there's never any chance to contact anyone real. In other words, the false self has taken over completely. There's no authentic self left anymore. It is extinguished long ago. And this is what I mean when I say, if you admit that you're wrong, you will die, because the false self cannot admit wrongdoing. And therefore, the false self, if it admits wrongdoing, it dies. Because the entire purpose of the false self is to keep reality at bay. And so The false self admitting that it's wrong would be like you going up to someone who loves their life and saying, listen, I just need to take your heart out for a day or two.
No.
Be like, I would really rather you didn't, if that's all the same to you, if that's all right. So your mother simply cannot admit that she's wrong. She is an automaton. She is an NPC. All false selves are NPCs, and most NPCs are false selves. She can't admit that she's wrong. If she admits that she's wrong, her whole life has become a lie, and all the decisions that she's made since she was a toddler, probably, have been all terrible. And she's been isolated in vanity and right fighting, you know, people who just fight to be right, regardless of the facts. And so she cannot, like, there's nothing in there except hollow manipulative defenses. Like, there's nothing in there. I'm not a soul guy. You know, I don't know if you're religious, but a lot of people think, well, there's a real mom in there somewhere. It's like, no. No, there's not. The brain has its particular configurations. And, you know, if you lose your arm, there's no ghost arm there that you can reconnect with and shake hands with. It's just gone. And the brain has particular configurations and patterns of neurons. And if the patterns of neurons are attuned to language, reality, truth, virtue, reason, as best we can, you know, it all strays from us from time to time, then you have those particular patterns. If your pattern is to manipulate and gaslight and never, ever admit fault, and anytime you're called out on anything, the other person must be crazy. Like, okay, yeah. I guess if it's that important to you, I'll give you your little apology. Or when you've been kind of unstable and aggressive, you come in and like, okay, I don't want to set you off, so I'll just tiptoe around because I don't know what's going to set you off because I can't understand what makes you so volatile. Like, it's all projection.
Yeah.
And there's nothing real there. It's all just a manipulation to continue the illusion of always being right. And being right is more important than anything. Than anything. And this is why no particular connection with the husband of decades, no particular connection with the daughter or her other daughter or the grandkids or anyone. They're all expendable. Because the only thing that matters is never being wrong in any authentic way. Never having the humility to bend the angry dominant will to reality and truth and empathy for that matter too, because there's something so fundamentally isolating about never admitting fault, which is that you have to cut yourself off from common humanity, because if you have empathy, you'll say, well, gee, I don't like admitting that I'm wrong. I bet you other people don't like admitting that they're wrong either. And therefore, you would try and find some middle ground. But no, it's like, I will never admit that I'm wrong. Everybody else has to admit that they're wrong. And it fundamentally isolates you. When you create a definition that's singular to yourself and excludes everyone else, you can never be close to anyone because all you are is hypocritical. So, sorry, that's a bit of an abstract way of putting it, but she is a machine of pure, unadulterated, distilled self-justification. And there's nothing in there but the machinery that turns every single situation into I'm right, you're wrong. And if this doesn't match your experience, you know, please let me know.
No, that, I feel like that, I mean, I feel like, unfortunately, encompasses her very well. Like, she's not close to anybody. Any kind of confrontational type thing, she just shut down. Like, when I was a kid, there was lots of yelling and fighting. Now that I'm an adult, she can't really do that anymore. So now it was just silence, shut down. Like, I've never thought of it in like a machine type way, but I can see that.
Well, and this is why she can't be close to anyone, because if someone always has to be right, that person can't be around anyone who's rational, because anyone who's rational knows that nobody's always right, and you always have to leave yourself open to the possibility of error.
Yeah, of being wrong. Mistakes.
Yeah, I'm sorry?
But yeah, we all make mistakes.
Of course, we are. We all get things wrong, and that's natural, and we all collectively get together to battle our way towards something true and solid. So if you can never admit that you're wrong, then you certainly can't be around anyone who's like yourself. Because if you have two people who can never admit that they're wrong, what happens?
Well, it's an explosion.
Like, well, it's matter and antimatter. Like if they say, if they say, well, we're going to meet here at 8, and then one person says, oh, you said 7 o'clock, and they can't admit that they're wrong. And the person who thought it was 8 o'clock, they can't admit that they're wrong. They just escalate, they explode, and they storm off.
I'm picturing a scene from some Doctor Who book.
You mean Daleks? I don't know. I'm an old Doctor Who guy. They scared the crap out of me when I was a kid. But so there's that now.
Well, like the.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I meant Dr. Seuss. I don't know what I was saying. Dr. Seuss book. Sorry.
Oh, slightly different genre there.
Yeah, sorry.
Please do not mix those things up with your little children. Exterminate, exterminate. Boy, this is the strangest Dr. Seuss. Exterminate the green eggs and ham.
sorry. My son, he's been wanting to read Dr. Seuss books, and we were reading Who's and all that. And
oh, the Whoville and all of that. Dr. Whoville. Oh, I love it. Yeah, the TARDIS. The TARDIS that's at all that strange angles and so on. Okay. So.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's fine. That's fine. I'm glad to be back on. See, all this gaslighting. I can't take it. So. So she can't be around people who are like herself, because two people who can't admit that they're wrong just blow up, which is why your dad is so, quote, reasonable, right? Because he's always having to appease the person who can't admit that she's wrong. Now, the only people that your mom could be around for a while are people who appease her. But after a while, especially if you're a parent, appeasing starts to feel kind of shameful. Like, why am I constantly surrendering my will? And then when you start to work in self-knowledge, you say, oh, why am I appeasing my mother? Oh, that's right. She's scary. She's aggressive. She'll manipulate. She'll gaslight. She'll, you know, storm out. She'll make my life uncomfortable. She has no boundaries, right? So then once you realize that you're appeasing because the other person is kind of like a bully, well, then you face that fork in the road. And the fork in the road is, am I going to continue to be a fraidy cat appeaser, or am I going to be honest and tell this person what I really think and what I really need? But then the moment you tell the person what you really think and you really need, what happens?
So long. There's they act like nothing's happened. You haven't said anything.
And the false self needs to be looked at as a dangerous virus because it tries to spread. And how does it try to spread?
That's scary.
No, it really does. And how does it try to spread? Well, it puts you in situations where you cannot tell the truth. And it puts you consistently in impossible situations. Because the false self is born out of impossible situations. As in, you're a kid and you have to be perfect. Well, even adults aren't perfect. Kids even less so, right? And they're perfect in their imperfections. So the false self is born out of impossibility, and then in order to replicate itself like a virus, it tries to create impossible situations in other people. So tell me about the Pop-Tarts, and how was that an impossible situation?
Yeah, like I very clearly told her no sugar. I never said explicitly no Pop-Tarts, but I kind of figured no sugar. That's another game she'll play is, oh, well, you didn't say this explicitly. It's like, yeah, it's kind of,
don't hit my children shoes. Well, you didn't say pumps. Right. So, so it's an impossible situation because you gave her instructions, but apparently it's your fault they weren't detailed enough. And then if you get angry at her gaslighting you, then you're crazy.
Yep.
It's an impossible situation. How could you win in that situation? How could you even draw? There's no winning. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Like my mother when I was younger, and she'd say, give me a bunch of complicated, confusing instructions. And if I got something wrong, she'd get mad at me. But if I asked for clarification, what would she say? Weren't you listening? I already told you. You can't win, right? You can't win. You get it wrong. Yeah. I mean, unless there's some miracle by which you get it right, but that's impossible. It's sort of designed that way, right? So it's an impossible situation. Impossible situations is how the false self replicates. And the false self replicates when you can't tell the truth. And you can't ever win with the false self because it will redefine whatever it needs to win. You should listen to a debate I did this week. It's out for donors, but you can get it over the weekend, called A Maddening Debate, where the guy just kept redefining things. Well, I wasn't using the standard definition. It's like, well, you don't get to do that, right? You don't get to say, you know, 2 and 2 make 4. No, they make 5. Well, sorry, you don't get to say 2 and 2 make 5. And I say, well, no, they don't. You say, well, no, I don't use 5 in the standard definition. I use it to mean 4. And it's like, no, you don't get to do that. That's not that's not how we roll here in reality land. So, yeah, you will constantly put in impossible situations. Now, here's another impossible situation. Your kids are playing and your mom comes. What do you do? Right now. What do you do? It's impossible.
Right.
When she comes home.
Like right now, I just, you know, she asks if she can come in and that's fine. Like,
well, except it's not fine and you can't win.
It's not.
Right. So you have to lie because she's attached herself to your kids while at the same time they're completely expendable. Right. So she's attached herself to your kids, in my view. She's attached herself to your kids. I'm sure she has fun with them and all of that. But she's attached herself to your kids, so she has power over you. So she can put you in impossible situations. Because if she really cared about your kids, she'd work very hard to protect her relationship with the kids, which you've clearly told involves things like don't give them rotavirus or Pop-Tarts. You know, perfectly reasonable. I think there's a Dr. Seuss book about that too. It's perfectly reasonable. Please, no deadly diseases or brain-altering food diet chemical stuff, right? So then, if she really cared about your kids, she would do everything she could to protect the relationship with them instead of using them in this game that the false self plays called, hey, you know what else would be an impossible situation? Okay. So now your kids really want to see me. Why? Because I bribed them with sugar and the fun grandma and so on, right? And they love me. And so I'm going to come by. Oh, I'm going to watch you squirm. You can't order me away.
Oh, my God.
You can't order me away because your kids really like me. If you invite me in, I know you don't want to. That's another impossible situation for you where you and I dominate you because you can't tell the truth. So she wins.
Oh, that's frustrating. Yes, she does.
That's the game. And the only way to win, of course, is not to play.
Yep. Oh my gosh, that's annoying. That's so annoying.
Well, I mean, do you find yourself having to bite your tongue and not really knowing what to do and having to walk a tightrope with your mother?
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. It's impossible situations.
And I hate it. And I keep wondering, what am I showing my boys? What example am I giving them? Like, So this is replicating. And I don't want to catch this crap. So how do I make sure that I don't do this? Because she would swear in a Bible that she's fine and whatever. And oh, she just wants to see them or whatever.
But that's another impossible situation, which is you're upset, but she's fine. She's fine. I don't know what you're so upset about. I'm fine. This must be on you.
Yeah.
Right? So that's another impossible situation. I'm really upset and angry, and she's perfectly fine, smugly so, and therefore the entire problem must be with me, right? It's another impossible situation. I can't let go of my anger, but I can't quite believe in my anger because she's totally fine. Like, you see, it's all just creating impossible situations so the virus of the false self can jump into you. And then you will have the temptation to start creating impossible situations for others, and the circle is complete. You won't do that. I understand that. I'm just talking about how it works for a lot of people.
Well, but that's where I'm freaked out, though. Is, does she see what she's doing?
No, but, oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. Let's not try and get into that head yet. Let's go back for just a second. Okay. I apologize. Very rude for me to yank the reins like this, but you did.
No, you're good.
You did, in fact. When I started pointing out your mother's impossible situation machinery, yes, you gave me an impossible situation. I'm going to take you back in time to low. Sorry, I've done like five other call-in shows today. I'm a little loopy, but it's good. It's good. So I'm going to take you back in time to when I said, you have to move,
mm-hmm.
right? And you said, yeah, I got to move. And then what did you say?
It's hard.
Nope. No, it's always hard to move.
Oh, no. I feel like I'm failing.
No, don't fail. Don't fail. I'm just wondering if you remember. And the fact that you don't remember is actually quite instructive because you're a very intelligent woman. So you said, well, it's going to take 2 years.
Yeah.
Right? Now,
oh,
that
my gosh,
was
you're right.
An impossible situation. We have to move, but not for 2 years. Steph, I need you to solve this problem for me. Well, the solution to the problem is you have to move. Well, I can't move for 2 years, Steph. Boom. See how
right.
See how it replicates?
Oi, I'm infected already.
Well, and this is one of the reasons why it's tough to have the conversation with your kid, because it's kind of an impossible situation with your kids. I brought someone into your life who's full of candy and fun. Now, you have to dislike her. Oh, look, an impossible situation. See how it replicates, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I asked what kind of deal you're getting. And then when you said, I'm not even getting a deal, I was kind of shocked, if you remember, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, well, if you're not getting it, again, you understand this very intelligent, logical woman. So when I said, well, you're not even getting a deal, then it should have been perfectly obvious that you could move and it would be fine. Because you just, and then you said, no, it's got to, you said, we got to wait 2 years because we got to save up enough money to buy a place. And I said, well, you're already renting. Just rent somewhere for 2 years and save the money there because you're not going to pay anymore because you're paying market rent now. And again,
well, now my head's panicking saying, am I right about that? Am I actually getting it?
I don't know, but it's not like you're not living there for free. Like if you were living there for free,
no.
then, of course, you know, one of the things that happens in life is that if you have low expenses, you tend to have low efficiency and ambition. If you have high expenses, you generally tend to have high efficiency and ambition. It's not like you start spending money and the money magically starts rolling in, but you're paying rent. And yes, mm-hmm. of course, you're getting some subsidized healthcare. Sorry, mental health, not so much, but you're getting subsidized childcare with your grandmother, but it's costing you way more than it's saving
yes.
you because of the stress and the tension and, oh God, where is she? She's coming home. My kids want to see her. Like, it's just crazy making, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no good answers in the current situation. You can't let her come in. You can't keep her out. You can't explain things to your kids. Again, impossible. Everywhere you turn, there's a maze with no exits, right?
Yep.
And that's the false self. That's when you're in the realm of the false self, is when there's no good answers. So I give you a good answer and you're like, no, can't do it, right? Because you're just used to that. Can't fix it, right? Can't solve it. And that's the price of being around people who are false self-driven, is you can't solve anything. There's no answers. Everything a yes, but, yes, but, yes, but, yeah, but, oh, but, oh, yeah, but, right? And you can't move forward and you're paralyzed in a way. It's like
yeah.
those snakes with the hypnotic eyes in the Jungle Book, trust in me, right? So, yeah, it's whenever I feel that impossibility, I'm like, oh, false self. I'm in the matrix of impossibility. And the only thing that gets you out of it is just getting pissed off. Like, there's no other way out of the maze. It's just getting pissed off.
So how do I clock when I could kind of sense that you'd picked up something, but I didn't. Like, how do I clock that when I
clock
what?
We just talked about 20 different things. Please, to
well,
be specific, Ms. Senor.
When I create or put myself in an impossible situation, how do I spot that? How do I know that I'm doing that?
Well, I just told you, got to get angry. Like, so the moment you feel like, well, we have to move. Oh, we can't move. Just get angry. Why can't we move? Of course we can move. And what I do is I say, okay, if somebody gave me $1 million to solve this problem, would I be able to solve it? So we'll give you $1 million if you can figure out how to move. Well, you'd figure out how to move, right? I mean, if let's say you got $1 million in 2 years or like whatever it was, so you didn't just buy a house with $1 million. It's the $1 million question. So if somebody said, you got to move, and you said, oh, I can't. It's like, well, imagine if somebody gave you $1 million to move or something that, you know, whatever that was beneficial, then you'd figure it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a matter of changing the incentives. Now, if somebody gave me $1 million to be 20 again, I couldn't be 20 again. So, you know, you understand where things aren't possible. So, so I would say that the opposite of the impossible mazes of the false self, you just get angry, you just step over the maze, step out of it with your height. Now, I don't mean angry at yourself, just mean angry at the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is not something that's part of the common parlance, so it's inevitable that we all have to kind of invent these wheels on our own. But with your mother, getting angry at your mother is also, you have to get angry at the maze, not at the person. Because getting angry at your mother, what happens there?
It's useless.
And why?
It's like getting mad at a rock.
Yeah, well, except getting mad at a rock won't gaslight you and make you feel like you've lost your mind, right?
Yeah, the rock won't retaliate.
No, it is like locking the door against a ghost. You cannot have boundaries with people who have no substance. They're ghosts. They can just walk right through. You just have to move away from the graveyard.
Okay. So if I had looked at this situation before our conversation, I would have said, we're working on the problem. It's just like, how do I know I'm making an excuse versus trying to be prudent? Like trying to...
Well, we first of all want to accept reality. And I'm sorry, that's an annoying thing to say, because of course we do, right? But just the reality that I'm talking about is what we want to do is we want to say, if I can't win, I don't want to play. I mean, would you want to play a lottery where you were told ahead of time, there's no prizes?
No.
No, of course not, right? Would you want to play a game of chess with someone who's just going to, you know, halfway through the game, they're just going to knock the chessboard over?
No.
No. So you can't win with your mother because she doesn't have empathy, and all she does is manipulate everything and everyone with no limits whatsoever, so that she's eternally in the right and everyone else is eternally in the wrong. In any conflict, she's 100% right, everyone else is 100% wrong, and there's no possibility of anything else.
Yeah.
Which means she lacks empathy because she says, I want to be right, without ever thinking, well, gee, do other people want to be right too? Nope, they're totally expendable, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you can't win with people who want to be right. You can't play chess with people who will change the rules so that they always win. There's no playing that game. It would be masochistic to play that game where everything gets redefined so that you're always wrong and they're always right. They always win. You always lose. You can't play the game. So then you say, okay, well, if I can't play the game with my mother, then I have to not be around my mother. And not being around your mother means moving, because she's not going to respect any of the boundaries that you have, because the false self doesn't do boundaries, because boundaries interfere with victory. So they don't do boundaries. And so say, okay, I got to move away from my mother's. Okay, so that's a challenge. Sure, it's a challenge. Sure, it is a challenge. And then you see, and then there's a part of you that's just like, oh my God, it's too hard. I'm going to have to be here. Now, who wants you to stay for 2 years?
Mom.
There you go. So I say, got to move away. And then your inner mom steps in and says, oh, 2 years minimum. Ooh, you got to buy a place. That's going to take, right? You got to save for that, right? So that's just your mom, right?
Ooh, how do I get her out? I don't like that.
Well,
I don't like that.
The best way to get people out of your head is to get them out of your front yard.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, physical distance is probably the best approach. But she doesn't want you to go because she's running out of victims. She's running out of people to interact with.
Yeah. Yep.
No, I stick by victims. I stick by victims. I was trying to be nice. It failed. So, yeah.
I'm not enough. It's okay.
Yeah. So, now, the other question is with regards to your kids. If you've got another few minutes, I want to make sure that we can touch on the kid thing.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, they're sleeping. I'm good.
All right. So, Little did they know the train tracks being changed ahead of them. So with regards to your kids, the thing to ask them is, let's make a big list of all the things you like about grandma. Right? And what would they say?
Sleepovers, TV, treats, toys.
So then I would say, so is it grandma or stuff? If grandma came without TV, treats, and toys, what do you like about just her?
They'd probably say they like that she plays with them. Although I feel like she's played with them now more recently, way more than she did before.
Well, sure. She's trying to ingratiate.
Tactic.
She's trying to ingratiate, right? So it's more impossible for you to set up boundaries because the kids will clamor for her, right? It's, again, it's all maneuvering. There's no authentic stuff in any of this. Okay. And what does she play with them?
They'll just want to explore. They want her to swing them on the swing. I got my son this little plastic bucket. It's not a bucket, but a little plastic container so you can put bugs in it. Got like a magnifying glass and she's helping him find bugs and super attentive and super, whereas before I'd go down there and he's down there watching TV and she's sitting there on the couch on her tablet.
Right. So then I would ask, can you tell me the last time you disagreed with grandma?
That would be a fascinating question.
What do you think?
I'm not sure.
Have you seen it? Have you seen your kids? They're fairly non-threatening, so she might allow a disagreement or two. But have you seen them strongly disagree with their grandma?
I haven't. And actually, that's something you've reminded me of that has given me the ick for a while. Is when my I haven't noticed in my youngest. He's still Play-Doh brain. We're working on things. He's still little enough that I haven't noticed these behavioral changes. But my eldest, if he spends any length of time with her, he gets so whiny. He is not a whiny child. He is so pleasant and so, like, he's a human. You know, there's things he doesn't like or whatever, but, like, he's so pleasant to be around. But, like, he gets so whiny. And just, like, it's like, dude.
It's the virus. Like, it's the virus. It's the virus.
No,
it is. It's trying to jump. The virus is trying to jump.
Oh, no.
So that he can get what he wants by being indirect and complaining. So how do we get what we want? We negotiate rationally or we apply positive or negative stimuli. Do what I want, you'll get a treat. If you don't do what I want, I'll spank you. I mean, not you guys, but, you know, a lot of parents and so on, right? So it's just, how do we get positive or negative stimuli? So he's around his grandmother. His grandmother does not get what she wants through direct and honest negotiation. She gets it through manipulation. So he comes back from her. Yeah. And what is his strategy to get what he wants? Indirect manipulation, applying positive and negative stimuli.
Yeah.
In this case, negative stimuli. Kids are amazing, isn't it? Just, it's incredible how their brains operate.
Yeah, that's, I had not thought of that. Because, like, another conversation I've had with her is, you have to tell him no. You have to tell him no. He's little. He doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. You're supposed to keep him safe. You can't just say yes to everything. Like, she had him scrolling on her tablet, which also was another thing that there's no reason for him to have a tablet. It wasn't his tablet, but still, he should not have been on her tablet. He's scrolling through Amazon and picking stuff. No! What are you? She wanted to tell him no. Like, she was trying to make herself look so appealing. Like, there's no substance there. So she's trying to make, that's disgusting. I can't believe I let that happen.
Well, because she wants to, and she's setting you guys up for conflict all the time.
Yes.
Oh, why can't we have Pop-Tarts like we do have Granny's? Oh, why can't I use the tablet like I do at Granny's? Oh, why can't I pick stuff out of Amazon like I do at Granny's? Oh, why can't I get this? Or why can't I get it? Right. So it's just setting up a standard that's going to have them come home and put you in an impossible. Again, she's sending her little mission, right? The rotavirus, right? She's sending her little viruses back with your kids so that now you're in an impossible situation. Well, why can't I have these cool things that grandma lets me have? Oh, because it's bad for grandma to let you have them. Well, then why do you send me to grandma's? Again, you can't win.
Yep.
Why do you give grandma authority over us if you think she's very bad at having authority over us? If she misuses her authority over us, why do you keep sending us over? There's no answer, right? Boom. Yeah, right? Impossible situation. So Do your kids disagree with you?
I mean, yeah. We don't see eye to eye on everything.
Sure. I mean, they should, right?
Yeah, it's time to go to bed. Well, we don't want to go to bed. Well, I understand you don't want to go to bed, but your brains need to grow. Sleep is very important. Yeah.
Yeah, I would just tell long, like, boring stories until... Anyway. So your kids disagree with you, but you've never heard your kids disagree with your mother.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fairly confident that I've never really heard her say no to them before.
So then I would say, you say no to me, you disagree with me, why do you think you don't say no to grandma? And not like, how dare you, or that's bad, or you hypocrites, or anything, just like genuinely curious. Why do you, because your kids are sensing something there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they can say no to you, they can disagree with you, they can even fight you tooth and nail, as kids should when they feel that they're in the right, but they don't do it with their mother. Sorry, with your mother.
Yeah.
It means that they sense that she can't admit fault. She can't back down.
Already, that's crazy.
Oh, kids are unbelievable. I mean, you've been around this. The language development is insane. My daughter was learning like 20 words a day. I do not know where. Like, they're raining from the clouds? Are they coming up like vapor from the earth? Like, where the hell are you getting all these words from, kid?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, I haven't heard that word in years. Where did you even get exposed to that?
Yeah.
My two-year-old right now is in that.
My daughter, when she was very little, if she didn't say no, she said, I think not. And I'm like, what are you, Princess Tinkerbell? Like, what do you mean, I think not? Are we supposed to go out and flog some peasants now? I think not. Oh, do you want a cup of milk? I think not. I'm like, oh, where is this coming from? I've never used that.
Oh,
I've never used
that.
Well, you respond to that with a bow and a curtsy, of course. Oh, my lady, you think not, do you? Oh, lovely. Oh, much, much. Yes, we shall bring around the carriage and we should go to Leicester to see the new play by Shakespeare. So, yeah, no, it is... It's remarkable. And so they're scanning everything, they're picking, they're just copy paste survival robots at that age. I mean, it's unbelievable. Well, not robots, but conscious beings that are just adapting
sponges
to everything around them. Yeah, absolute sponges. So, and they see you and your mother interacting, and they see that you want things and your mother doesn't back down. Or if she does, she backs down because you're crazy. Okay, fine, fine. If you want it that way, whatever, it's fine. It's fine. You can have it your way, right? So so the only concession is to your insanity and crazy standards and intransigence, and you never want your children to exist on the same planet as sugar. Well, that's, okay, that's a little bit of a straw man, but a straw mom. It's a straw mom. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, you cut your sister off anyway. I was just next.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're just cutting people off willy-nilly. You got pruners or something.
Yeah, you're just like the axe guy in the French Revolution. Just boom, boom, guillotine, guillotine. So.
Blood everywhere.
Yeah, blood everywhere. So, yeah, so with your kids, ask them why they don't disagree with grandma. Just explore the relationship. You don't need to tell them what to do or not to do. You just need to explore things and ask them. Like, you disagree with me. Why do you think you don't disagree with grandma? Just out of curiosity. Is she armed?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and just get them to explore that. What do you think the difference is? I mean, you guys disagree with me, and I respect that, and I appreciate that, and you should. If you disagree with me, you should be honest about it, right? But grandma, right? Yeah. So take away the stuff. What do you like about grandma outside of what she does for you? It's a big question. It's a big question. Your kids are old enough, I'm sure, to start thinking about that stuff. What do you like outside of what grandma does for you? What do you like about her, just her?
Yeah. If they seem like if it seems like it's a little bit, like if they're not understanding the question, would it be appropriate to let it rest, but bring it up a little later? Like, is this definitely something that we need to definitely we need to go over?
No, I mean, even if they don't, what you do is, you, if they don't understand it conceptually, which again, they're young, then you do it physically, right? So if they're disagreeing with you, you put on a hat and you say, now I'm grandma. I'm grandma, children, you can't disagree with me now.
Terrifying.
Here, have some pot Pop-Tarts. Go drown in an entire vat of sugar and honey and molasses. And I'll fatten you up. Put you in some rural German oven. No, I'm just... Right, so if they're disagreeing with you, just you can make a joke to point out that they don't disagree with grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And just to get them to start to be aware of it. Because if they disagree with grandma and grandma hits the roof, then you've solved something. Because right now you're concerned that they're going to pine after grandma and miss her. Well, if she's bribing them and doing everything they want in order to sabotage you and have power over you, then of course she's an expert at getting people to like her. I mean, obviously your father was married to her for decades. So, but if being with someone means you can't be honest with them and you can't disagree with them, that's way too high a price to pay.
Yeah.
Because then you're being bribed into not being yourself. Like, I'll give you sugar, but you're gonna lie to me. I'll give you sugar, but you can't be direct with me. You can't disagree with me.
Yeah. And then they're saying it with me when she comes and wants to go in the yard. I'm not being myself. I'm right. Like,
oh,
not
boys
really
especially,
saying anything.
Boys especially scan hierarchy like nobody's business. You know how teenage girls scan each other for attractiveness? Boys scan hierarchy. And they will imitate whoever's at the top of the hierarchy because that's where they want to end up, because that's where they get the most resources and the most attractive females over time and all of that. Boys scan hierarchy and they copy paste who's at the top of the hierarchy all the time. And that's why you got to be very careful about who's at the top of your hierarchy, because that's who's actually raising your kids, your boys in particular.
Yeah, I cannot let them copy paste her. I can't let that go on. I have to stop it.
Yes, definitely. I mean, yeah, it's early days, so it's fine. But yeah, definitely you don't want to let your kids be around that. And that's why I don't think my daughter's ever seen me back down, even when maybe I should have or whatever, right? So when we were in Australia and the people were attacking the venue, Lauren Southern and I, we took umbrellas, went out and chatted with them and so on. And she saw me, you know, in Hong Kong, march into the tear gas and all of that with the communist protests and so on. And if on the couple of times that people have come at me pretty hard in public, I stand my ground, I give as good as I get, and, you know, de-escalate in reasonable ways, but without backing down or giving way. And if she's ever seen me debating, and she, of course, she saw me with the media in Australia and New Zealand and other places where, you know, they're really going at me and I went back. So I don't want to be at the top of the hierarchy or anything like that, but I don't want to be below anyone in the hierarchy, if that makes sense. I just want to be myself. And it's important in particular, and we haven't really talked about your husband, but in particular, it's also important that your husband back you up and not back down. Because otherwise, they're going to view ancient matriarchal dominance as what they need to aim at.
Oh, no.
Because they need to see, as males, the male, I won't say at the top of the hierarchy like he should rule over you, but certainly not pushed around by an old woman.
Yeah.
I mean, your husband has to kind of make short work of your mother.
Yeah.
But he hasn't had your support for that. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, she's never had the guts to, like, my husband's pretty,
No, you could just leave it there. My husband's pretty. That's all we need. What? Just call us pretty. My husband's dreamy.
I'm sure.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, it sounds wrong, but like I wouldn't mess with him. Like he's.
Yeah, but he's not like, protecting the family as a whole, though.
He's not letting things happen in front of him. But yeah, he's. You know, if you make the argument that through, like, you know, he hasn't exactly stopped any of this. Putting it that way.
Well, so they see their grandfather who kowtows to the grandmother. I mean, I know that he's separated and so on, but that's what they've seen. And
that's what they've seen, yeah.
And they see that when their father is around, your mother is more reasonable. But then when he's gone, she dominates you to some degree. And that means that you can bypass the hierarchy just by waiting until the man leaves. Then just resume your dominance. And the husband won't come back and deal with it. And the husband won't sit down and say, okay, so things have been going bad between you and my wife, and this is not good for my kids. So we got to work it out, or we got to not have you over. And then if your grandmother is like, well, fine, I just won't come over then. It's like, all right, if you don't want to talk about it, and that's the choice you make, I think it's really sad, but I'll respect that choice. And I call her bluff, right? Because I absolutely refuse to be manipulated by people who do that sort of shit, right? I say, you know, I have a problem. You're upsetting my wife. You're upsetting my kids. We got to work this out. It's like, or, you know, or what? Well, or I don't want you over. Well, that's fine. I won't come over then. Okay. Like, I don't, like, if people say the relationship is not even worth a mildly challenging conversation, I take them at face value. I accept that's what they believe. That the relationship is not worth it. And then what am I fighting for? What am I fighting for? This person doesn't even have any investment in the relationship. What am I fighting for? Because you can only have leverage in any relationship if the other person cares to be there or cares whether they're there or not. If they don't care whether they're there or not, you have no leverage. And of course, the entire point is to dominate and to win, which means your mother can never admit that anyone has any leverage over her. That's why your dad says, I want a divorce. She's like, fine. She will not surrender. She will not mediate. None of that will happen.
Like, she's trying to rewrite history. I thought our marriage was better than it had been in a long time. I don't remember asking for a divorce.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm fine. Okay. I thought things were great. You must be crazy. Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, the insanity. Am I okay? Like, what is going on?
Yeah. Yeah, and that constant "am I crazy" stuff, that's a brain mold, man. That's like Jordan Peterson takedown. That's just toxicity. I mean, look, we can all get wrong. We can all be wrong about stuff, and not everyone's memory is more a recreation than an absolute. But if you're constantly in the position of like, well, hang on, that's not how I remember it. Like constantly, it's like nope, won't do it.
Yeah, and with her, that's always. I've been asking myself for years, am I okay? Am I like...
Did I get hit on the head? Did I play rugby so much I can't even remember playing rugby? I get it. It's kind of a paradox. Yeah. All right. So that's, those are my general thoughts. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention?
No, I don't think I had it anything. I had it. Oh, geez.
So our next call is 2030, I think. So I think we'll book that now. good. Yeah, I got it locked in.
No, we're moving. I'm not going to be embarrassed again. I'm not going to sit here in 2 years and be like, I can't even send you an update because this is too embarrassing.
Don't listen, please don't feel mad at yourself. Again, you did it 5 times faster than I did, and I'm not dumb as cookie in the bag, so I just wanted to mention that, but no, I'm sure it'll be fine, and I look forward to the update.
Will do.
All right, big hugs to everyone. Thank down you. There. Keep me posted. All right.
Will do. Thank Bye. You so much.